Come in to this place of community and consolation. Come into this place of learning and inspiration. Whether you're a longtime member or this is your first time here, you are welcome here. Whether you believe in God all of the time or some of the time or none of the time, you're welcome here. No matter what body brought you in here, no matter where you've been, no matter who you love, you are welcome here at First Church, First Unitarian Church in Albuquerque. We're glad you're here. I'm the Reverend Bob LaValle, and I serve this congregation as associate minister, and I'm delighted to be joined today by our senior minister, Reverend Angela Herrera. Hi, Angela. And our music director, Susan Peck. And for our very last service here, her very last service here at First Unitarian as a ministerial intern, Jane Davis. So glad to have you here, Jane. So if you're a visitor, we're glad you're here. I'll put a link in the chat bar where you can sign up to get on our mailing list, and or if you have questions or want to learn more about this congregation, this wonderful group of folks striving together. And I want to thank all our tech folks. It takes a village to make online worship happen. Today, Dan Smaller is our DJ. Hey, Dan. And Cy Schuster, Melanie Rubin, Christine Robinson, Michaela Renz-Whitmore, and Raymond Wolfgang. Oh, and is that everybody? That's everybody, yeah. So glad that you're all here. So, Jane, can we light our chalice?
I lit our chalice this morning in the spirit of gratitude, thankful for what I have been given by this teaching congregation, for teaching me to embrace both life and death in community, for your patience as I learn to lead our worship and our spiritual practices. I lit this flame as a symbol of the light placed in my heart by the compassion and support from this teaching congregation.
It dishonors those who go before. to be hopeless would seem so strange. It is honest, those who go before us, so lift me up to that change. So lift me up to that of change.
I want to take a moment to acknowledge the end of Jane Davis's ministerial internship with us on this, her last Sunday, and to celebrate her and thank her. Jane, in your 2 years as our ministerial intern, you've done so much learning. You've told me about it in our weekly meetings, and we have witnessed it, and we've been cheering you on. We've been especially touched by your sermons during the pandemic. But you've also given us gifts, other gifts, through your ministry. Most notably, you have developed a recovery ministry that will last beyond your internship. Through it, you've helped staff and members think differently about the role of recovery in our community and in our lives. You've helped our congregation grow in inreach and in outreach. You have truly changed us by your presence here. As all interns must, Jane will now take 1 year away from First Unitarian, during which time she's going to complete the requirements to become a fellowshipped minister. We're really lucky in this case, though, because Jane and her partner, Ray, plan to continue living in New Mexico. I'm really excited that Jane plans to base her community ministry here in Albuquerque, and that it means we'll get to work together in the years to come. And so, Jane, today we say blessings to you as you go, and we look forward to welcoming you back. Now, this is the time in the service when we would have made you come up onto the sanctuary platform. And if I know this congregation, they would have leapt to their feet and they would be showing their appreciation with a hearty applause. And then we would present you with a special gift. Now, that we can definitely still do. We can present you with a special gift. All we need is a little bit of magic, and we've got plenty of magic in this church. First, a word about the gift. It's traditional at First Unitarian to give our interns the gift of a clergy stole. Most have been mosaics with symbols on them that reflect our beautiful, beloved sanctuary mural. The stoles are created out of fabrics that have been passed from seamstress to seamstress in our church. There are pieces that are cut from the ties worn by men in a men's support group 2 decades ago. There are pieces made from hand-dyed fabrics and pieces from fabric purchased especially for each stole. Carmen Samora is one of our congregation's seamstresses. She has made stoles for Carmen Emerson, Brian Elwood, James Galasinski, and Dan Lilly. She made stoles for Christine Robinson and for me, and now she has made one for Jane. Here's what it looks like. Carmen says, Jane's stole is a collage using materials from each of the other mural stoles in our church. The stole also incorporates new materials found specifically for her. I used shared materials and old historical materials. I made it with love and deep respect for Jane, knowing I was weaving in materials from our Albuquerque history. I hope the stole wraps her in a swath of warmth and hope. Isn't that beautiful? May the stole wrap her in warmth and hope. I think Carmen has given us our magic phrase, everybody. I am going to pass the stole to Jane now, and I invite you to join me in saying these words to her as I give it to her. May it wrap you in warmth and hope. May it wrap you in warmth and hope. May it wrap you in warmth and hope.
Thank you so much. I cannot reduce into words my thoughts and feelings about my wonderful educational and formational experiences with and through this congregation. I am so grateful for having received this icon, this work of art, to remind me of my experience of having been fortunate enough to have been held in community by this wonderful congregation during the educational and formational processes of this path to ministry. Thank you and bless you.
Hi, I'm Luciana, and I invite you to do the UU affirmation with me. Here we go. We are Unitarian Universalists. We are people of faith with open minds, loving hearts, and helping hands.
Are there any kids out there who want to help me call our puppet friends out? Come on closer. Let's call them. Let's start with Lucia. We haven't talked to her for a while. Let's see what she's up to. Lucia! Lucia! Oh, hi! Oh, look at how adorable your little mask is. That is the cutest thing. Oh, Sheldon there. Oh my gosh. Oh, wow. Oh, everybody's here. And you're all wearing masks. Well, what's going on? I mean, you don't need to wear masks in the house, you know. You're getting ready to go? Go where? Why are you going to Jane's house? You heard me say that she's leaving and you need to say goodbye. Oh, gosh. Well, I'm happy that you feel so bonded to Jane. I think we all do after her 2 years here with us. But, you know, we're still under a stay-at-home order and we can do some things, but we really can't just go to people's houses right now. Yeah, sorry. What is it, Carl? Carl, I'm not even sure this is working as a mask. It's more of a muzzle. What are you trying to say? Oh, it's not fair? What do you mean? You want cake. Okay, certainly would have cake at a goodbye party. Oh gosh, well, yes, Sheldon? Well, you're right. COVID-19 has really slowed things down. And there's lots of things we'd like to do that we can't do, like have goodbye parties. This is so hard. I'll bet that almost everybody here this morning has had to miss something that was important to them. Goodbyes are really special, though. I wonder how we could say goodbye while still honoring social distancing. What? You could give her a present? Well, that's a nice idea. Do you have something in mind, Olivia? A new clear piece of plexiglass? What are you talking about? A new clear piece of plexiglass for the new clear scientist? That's a good one, Olivia. It's true, Jane was a nuclear scientist before she began learning to become a minister, but now she has spent 2 years learning a new vocation. So I think that we should give her a gift that reminds her of her time with us and of how proud we are to be a part of it. Even though plexiglass is popular right now, I'm not sure that that's quite the right gift. What is it? Oh, Rebecca wants to give her carrots. No surprise there. You want to give her meat? Well, that's sweet, Lucia, but that won't work. Jane's a vegan. You want to eat cake? Yes, Carl, we know you want to eat cake. We've got it. What, Sheldon? You want to give her a boulder with petroglyphs painted on it? Oh, that sounds very New Mexico. A hot air balloon. Okay, all right. Yeah, how about you? Do you got any other ideas? Oh, yes, a flyover. We could get into a plane and zoom over her house and make marks in the sky. And each of you would have your own plane. Okay, Carl, do you know how to fly a plane? No, that's a relief at least. You know, these gift ideas are getting pretty extravagant. Maybe we could reconsider the plexiglass. A parade with floats. Oh, this is really all too, now hold on. We could do a smaller kind of parade, like maybe with cars instead of floats, right? Like a parade in front of Jane's house, kind of like a drive-by birthday party. Yeah? You could get in my car and I could drive you to Jane's house? Yes, yes, I do know how to drive and we could do that. Okay, but I think that this is a really fun idea. Olivia, yes, you certainly could make a sign, and I will tell you how to spell goodbye later, okay? All right, I think that we're really onto something here. We could invite the whole church? Yes, we could. I think that that would be really fun. A drive-by goodbye party. But you know what? We'd have to do it today because this, today, is Jane's last day. I wonder if she's going to be home. Oh, I see a message from her. She is going to be home. Okay, well, okay, let's see. We are going to have to figure out some logistics. Okay, well, if there are some UUs out there who would like to be part of a quick drive-by goodbye celebration that goes by Jane's house later today, stay tuned, and we will tell you the time and the gathering place later in this service. How exciting! Oh my gosh! Are you guys feeling better now? You are? What great creativity! Okay, well, you better go off and start getting ready, okay? All right, let's say goodbye to the puppets. Goodbye! Goodbye! Goodbye. Goodbye. Oh my goodness, what have they gotten me into? Well, this should be fun. We'll share the meeting place and the time later in the service in a verbal announcement, and we'll put it in the text box at the very end of the service too. So there we go. Yes, Olivia, you're ready? It's GOODBYE. Okay, I've figured it out. I've got the details for tonight's drive-by parade. That probably seemed really fast to you guys. It seemed longer to me. We're going to gather at 6:45 p.m. for a 7 p.m. parade. The meeting place is the intersection of Alvarado Place Northeast and Indian School Northeast. It's on the north side of that intersection. Alvarado and Indian School. Look for Christine Robinson. She'll be standing out there waving you in the right direction. And we encourage you to make signs and get creative if you'd like to join this drive-by parade. If you'd like to bring a card for Jane, that's just fine, and Christine will have a basket for those. Cars and bicycles are both welcome. We do ask that everybody please stay in your car. Or if you're on a bicycle, that you keep at least 6 feet between yourself and people who are not part of your household. The ministers will move around to greet you from a distance and to tell you how the parade will work. And so this is our first attempt at an event since this pandemic started, which means it's our first big opportunity to show that we can do it, that we can show up creatively while still protecting each other and the wider community. Again, we'll gather at 6:45 for a 7 p.m. drive-by parade, the intersection of Alvarado and Indian School. Alvarado and Indian School. And feel free to share the word with any of your UU friends who may have missed the service this morning. And I'm going to post all of that in the text box later in the service as well. So if you still missed some piece of it, it's okay. I'm going to put it in the text box. All right, let's prepare our bodies for meditation and prayer. Let's prepare our bodies for meditation and prayer, beginning with the breath. I'm so happy to think of celebrating Jane tonight. And at the same time, the breath is just such a poignant starting place right now for a meditation and prayer. It's hard to say, let's breathe, without remembering in the same instant the words chanted across our country over the last couple of weeks. The words, I can't breathe. And so I invite us all to just be with the all of it. Let's be with the all of it. Let's allow our breathing to bring us into presence with what is. Bring us into presence with what is. That may include being with feelings of unrest within us and beyond, with lamentation for the harm of systemic racism and a culture of white supremacy. May include being with anger. If you have been irritable lately, breathe and be with that. If you are feeling depressed, let that just be what it is for right now. If you are in any physical pain, breathe and be. Let's breathe and be with the all of it. With relief or a sense of release, perhaps, that something is happening, that what was suppressed is now made manifest. With the good feeling of being together and not alone right now. Breathe and see if it's possible to let your body soften a little bit for a moment and to just be with what is together as we continue with a minute of silence. What are some of the feelings you are present with right now? And what are some of the names and the prayers in your heart? Let's share our joys and concerns. When the music begins, I invite you to write first your joys and then your concerns in the chat box where we can all see them and hold them with you. If you're joining by phone, you won't be able to see the chat box, but we'd love to hear what your joys and concerns are, and you can send them to the care team at caring@uuabq.org anytime. And sending a message to that email is also a good way to let us know what you'd like to be included in the spoken prayer, caring@uuabq.org. Let's share our joys and concerns. So neat.
It's already there within you, just waiting to be set free. Just be kind, be kind. Pay attention to the inside, attention to the outside.
We lift up all these many joys and celebrations for Jane, many celebrations of Jane, for gardens and nature and new pups, for the anticipation of seeing loved ones, gratitudes for teachers like Alice Walker. We lift up the prayers for health, for recovery, for comfort in time of sorrow. Concerns about violence, concerns about rising militarism. We lift up prayers of solidarity with Black Americans and protesters everywhere. We lift up also Brenda Cole, whose brother Chris is working to heal from cancer. We pray for his well-being. And we acknowledge the joys and concerns that remain unspoken. All that feels too big or too small, too personal or too whatever to share. We hold it all. We acknowledge all of that is unspoken among us. Will you join me in prayer? Source of all, spirit of life, ancestor known by many names. We pray for peace. Yes, we pray for peace, but not just the peace that is the absence of discord. We pray for the true peace of wholeness and well-being. Therefore, we pray for peace and for the healing that precedes true peace. We pray for healing, but we know better than to confuse healing with just putting on a Band-Aid. True healing requires first that the injuring cease. Therefore, we pray for the justice that precedes true healing, a justice informed by compassion and love. And we know that for there to be justice, some real action must be taken. We cannot, as a society, promise change and not follow through with it or make only incremental steps when lives and liberty and democracy is in danger. It will take real action based on listening to what the people are saying And so we pray for the action that precedes justice and also for the listening that precedes action. May America's ears and heart be opened. Hear our prayer. And ancestor, because of the work and the gains made by those who came before us, we also know that those in power never concede it without a demand. So we pray for protest. We pray for sustained disruption through massive, peaceful protests for as long as it takes. We pray for protesters. May all who are protesting violence be safe. May all who are protesting iniquity and inequity be protected. May protesters be fed and sustained in body and in spirit. And because protesting iniquity and protesting inequity is the work of all people who believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person, and is the work of all people who belong to the interdependent web of life, and is the work of all people who believe in the transforming power of love and believe that transformation must happen, we pray for courage. May each of us have the courage to speak up as we are able, with our feet, with our words, with our actions, with our money, with our social connections, with 5G and Wi-Fi and landlines and protest signs. May we have courage. We pray for the courage to protest until listening is transformed into action, and action brings about justice, and justice makes way for healing. This, O source of all, O spirit of life, this, O God, is our prayer for peace. Hear our prayers. Amen. And peace be with you.
I will be your standing stone. I will stand by you. I will be your standing stone. I will stand by you. I will be your standing stone. I will stand by you. I will be your standing stone. I will stand by you. I will be your standing stone. I will stand by you. Estaré como un pilar firme junto a ti.
This is a poem by the African-American poet Langston Hughes entitled, "Let America Be America Again." It was written in 1935. Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain, seeking a home where he himself is free. America never was America to me. Let America be the dream the dreamers dreamed. Let it be that great strong land of love, where never kings connive nor tyrants scheme, that any man be crushed by one above. it never was America to me. Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic wreath, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is in the air we breathe. There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free. Say, who are you that mumbles in the dark? And who are you that draws your veil across the stars? I am the poor white, fooled and pushed apart. I am the Negro bearing slavery's scars. I am the red man driven from the land. I am the immigrant clutching the hope I seek and finding only the same stupid plan of dog eat dog, of mighty crush the weak. I am the young man full of strength and hope, tangled in that ancient endless chain of profit, power, gain, of grab of land, of grab of gold, of grab the ways of satisfying need, of work the men, of take the pay, of owning everything for one's own greed. I am the farmer, bondsman to the soil. I am the worker sold to the machine. I am the Negro, servant to you all. I am the people, humble, hungry, mean. Hungry yet today, despite the dream. Beaten yet today. Oh, pioneers, I am the man who never got ahead, the poorest worker bartered through the years. Yet I'm the one who dreamt our basic dream in the old world while still a serf of kings. Who dreamt a dream so strong, so brave, so true, that even yet its mighty daring sings in every brick and stone, in every furrow turned that's made America the land that it's become. Oh, I am the man who sailed those early seas in search of what I meant to be my home. For I am the one who left dark Ireland's shore and Poland's plain and England's grassy lea. And torn from Black Africa's strand, I came to build a homeland of the free. The free? Who said the free? Not me. Surely not me. The millions on relief today? The millions shot down when we strike? The millions who have nothing for our pay? For all the dreams we've dreamed, and all the songs we've sung, and all the hopes we've held, and all the flags we've hung, the millions who have nothing for our pay, except the dream that's almost dead today. Oh, let America be America again, the land that has never been yet, and yet must be the land where every man is free. The land that's mine, the poor man's, Indians, Negroes, me, who made America, whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain, whose hand at the foundry, whose plow in the rain must bring back our mighty dream again. Sure, call me any ugly name you choose. The steel of freedom does not stain. From those who live like leeches on other people's lives, we must take back our land again, America. Oh yes, I say it plain. America never was America to me. And yet I swear this oath, America will be. Out of the rack and ruin of our gangster death, the rape and rot of graft and stealth and lies, we the people must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains and the endless plain, all the stretch of these great green states, and make America again. That was by the poet Langston Hughes, written in 1935. Right now, I'm going to preach on racial justice and policing. And before I get going, I want folks to know that as a white minister, I have some understanding of the ways that I'm complicit in white supremacy. Religion in general has a lot to account for. During slavery and beyond, mainline Christian traditions used their theology to defend enslaving Black folks. So I'm speaking here not as the most woke guy in the room, but as someone who needs to do more work on himself and on the country that we live in. All right, let's go. So you might have seen the video from Buffalo. There's a line of riot police. They're sweeping up the sidewalk in front of City Hall, a place where I have protested many times. An elderly man steps in front of them. It's not clear what he's asking. They push him down and he falls hard and he cracks his head. And they continue to march right by him, calling for EMTs instead of providing aid in those critical first moments of his injury. I'm from Buffalo and I know that man. Marty Cugino is a committed voice on behalf of the most vulnerable among us. He's a fixture on the Buffalo activism scene. Whether the issue is immigration or climate justice or Latin America, he shows up. And now he's in the hospital in serious condition. It's time for us to reimagine how we do public safety in this country. Policing as it stands is broken. Our president of the Unitarian Universalist Association, Reverend Susan Frederick Gray, she put it very succinctly in a letter she shared this week. The system of policing in the United States evolved directly from slave patrols, groups of armed white men authorized to protect white wealth and white safety and to control and destroy Black lives. It's not coincidental then that the police have frequently been involved in lynchings and the violent enforcement of segregation, including the segregation that persists today. End of quote. All we need to do is look at the videos of white folks calling the police simply because a Black person is present, sitting in a park, sleeping in their dorm lounge, playing on a playground, wearing a hoodie. They know that the police are a source of terror for Black folks. Every workplace has a culture, and it's painfully clear that the culture of policing is toxic, especially for Black and brown people in the United States. The idea of a war on crime has turned into a war on our neighborhoods. And I have a little firsthand knowledge of war. And one of the basics of war is that we meet the enemy with overwhelming force. And that's what we're seeing in these protests. Peaceful civil disobedience is being met with overwhelming force. That's what met my friend Marty Gugino in front of City Hall in Buffalo. I'd hope that the police would never use overwhelming force when dealing with our neighbors, but the minimum force necessary, and even then as a last resort. You know, the cruel irony of this brutality is that it's exactly what the protesters are protesting about. It's as if a group of people were gathered to protest about the impact of oil on the world, and ExxonMobil pulled up with an oil tanker and just dumped thousands of gallons of oil on the ground. Well, replacing the police may seem like an outlandish idea, but consider this. The budget for the police in Buffalo is $143 million. That city's budget for parks and rec and youth services and senior services comes to $4 million. $143 million, $4 million. And the gap between those two numbers is also the gap in understanding between our leaders who think that what our leaders think keeps a city safe and what our people think keeps a city safe. It's a big gap. Now, reimagining public safety doesn't mean that the police suddenly shut down one day and there's a complete vacuum. You know, you may have seen some of the policies to defund the police. Just to be clear, there are a variety of definitions of defunding. So it doesn't necessarily mean a total divestment. It can mean redistributing funds to the many different kinds of efforts that make a city healthier and safer. It can mean spending more money on prevention, on intervention, on treatment. Public safety shows up in a lot of different ways. There's a lot of things that make the public safe. This narrow definition that we have right now of public safety is people dressed like soldiers roaming our neighborhoods. That's the part of the problem. If people here are interested in learning more about this, a good place to start would be reading The New Jim Crow, if you haven't already, or watching the documentary 13th, which I'm pretty sure is on Netflix. So some folks here might be wondering why this is a sermon at a Unitarian Universalist worship service. I want to tell you, this is in our DNA. Many Unitarians and Universalists stood up for the abolition of slavery when it seemed like a totally unrealistic thing to ask for, when it was outrageous. Louisa May Alcott, Theodore Parker, Abraham Lincoln's vice president, Hannibal Hamlin, they were all Unitarians who spoke out loudly to abolish slavery when it was a completely unheard of idea. And we Unitarian Universalists in 2020 are heirs to their courage and to their vision. We carry it with us. I'd like to return to Reverend Frederick Gray's letter. We must demilitarize and defund the police. We must defund and decarcerate the jails. The notion that these systems create safety is a lie of white supremacy, capitalism, and colonialism. Just as we witness in the commentary on the present uprisings, it has always been to protect wealth and property, not life, and certainly not Black lives. We can't reform the current system of policing in America. We must find a new way to keep one another safe. End of quote. The policy questions around this transition are enormous and complicated, and we don't have the time to go into them here, and I think they're still brewing, bubbling. But one thing I'll say is this new vision isn't anti-cop, it's pro-human. Let's go back to my friend Marty Gugino. The video shows men, the police, looking at him, laying on the ground bleeding, and then hurriedly looking away as they march past him. I know that look from my time as a chaplain at the veterans hospitals. Those folks are receiving a moral injury. Moral injury is this condition that arises when we do or allow something to happen that we know is not right in our hearts, that is against our core principles. It can last for years, the effects of it, a lifetime even. Those folks were getting morally injured. When police brutality happens, everyone is affected. We Unitarian Universalists need to fire up our moral imaginations and dream a better world into existence. There is a better way. And I'll finish with one more quote from Reverend Susan Frederick Gray. I invite you in this moment to lean into your spirit, to pray in whatever way you do, and to ask what your faith calls from you in this moment. What does our faith call from us in this moment? Amen, and blessed be.
As we prepare to take up the offering, I want to remind you that our Change for the Future recipient for this quarter is Oxford Houses of Albuquerque. And I invite you to visit the oxfordhouse.org website to learn more about this program. This program is very close to my heart. I have experienced Oxford Houses as both resident and as outreach support. I'm very impressed with this system that includes over 17 locations in New Mexico. 17 of them are in Albuquerque. Oxford House is a concept in recovery from alcohol and other drug addiction. It often houses people who are coming out of incarceration where their sole offense has been struggling with drug abuse. And Oxford House is democratically run, self-supporting, and a drug-free home. Many of the women's houses hold space for mothers to have their children live there with them. The houses operate on principles in line with UU principles. They employ the community support aspects of healing and growth in a way that is very similar to our UU small group ministries. Donations are always needed for these houses, for startups, and for emergency cases. Now, we know that giving through our webpage can be unwieldy, so we encourage you to automate your pledge payments through your bank. If it's possible for you to arrange monthly automatic payments, that may give you peace of mind to know that your pledge is going out regularly. Contact Cherry Jaffe, our Director of Finance and Finance and Operations, if you'd like more information. We will now take up the offering for the work of this church and the work of this church in the community.
There is no uncertainty about the suffering around us,
nor uncertainty that the worst is still days ahead for us.
The possible futures we face never included an absence of suffering.
But the possibilities for how we move through this time are many.
And it is in the choices that we make that glimpses of hope can be found.
These evils as the best that we can do.
But that is not the only possibility. There is another.
There is another.
There is another.
There is another.
The possibility that love might just prove to be real.
And prove to be resilient.
And stronger in the end than our self-interests and our failings.
Thank you. this time, the circle can't be broken. Imagining new possibilities and standing for justice. We can choose compassion, honor those whom we have lost, expand community, and rebuild trust in one another. We can love bigger. It's already happening. The seeds of this new direction are being planted all around us. Now is our time. Rise up, brand new day.
Thank you. What is generously given is received with gratitude. Thank you on behalf of the congregation and on behalf of Oxford Houses of Albuquerque. Before I extinguish the chalice, I want to let folks know that we're offering small group meetings after the service. If you'd like to stay and chat with your fellow congregants, just stay in the meeting and you'll be placed in a group. If you don't want to do that, simply leave the meeting. Now, we extinguish our chalice with these words by Eric Williams. We emerge. We all emerge from, dwell within, are transformed by, and called back to love. May your mind be humbled before this mystery. May your heart grow hopeful by it. May you be sustained by this love always.
About sorrow, and Julian, do you not know about pain? And I said, Julian, do you not know about hunger? And Julian, do you not know about shame? But she said, all will be well. Do you not know about disease? And I said, Julian, do you not know about cruelty? I said, Julian, it's too much. It brought me to my knees. But she said, all will be well.
You said, I know it's too much. It brought me to my knees where I heard all will be well. All will be well. All manner of things will be well. I said, Julian, you are holy. You are holding my hand. Tenderness. She said, baby girl, do you not know about friends? And she said, baby girl, do you not know about the spirit? She said, baby girl, do you not know, it's only love that never ends. And so